when our Lord rose from the dead, when he appeared before his disciples, the first two times when he appeared, he says, "Peace be with you." So now, peace be with you. Whenever there is peace, why there is peace? Because the Lord is there. That's why we can have peace. Nowadays, we are so afraid of unseen virus, isn't it? Unseen, we can't see it. But can we see? Or do we believe God is here? The Lord is here. Even though you are not physically with us today, but may I say again to you, peace be with you. The unseen Lord is with us now. So let us bow before him and pray. Dear Lord, as we gather before you, open our eyes to see you. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. Open our ears. Prepare our hearts to meet you. So we complete this morning gathering before you. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, for the past few times, I start to talk about vision in the Bible. And I use the key verse, which is in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." Let me repeat, changing one word. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Why do I want to talk about revelation or vision in the Bible? It is very important, because why is it important? Without vision, people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. So vision is not about strange things happened. Vision is not about you see some strange creature around you. Vision is not about man's dream to come true. Vision is not about future events. You are not trying to foretelling future events. Every vision in the Bible, brothers and sisters, is God trying to reveal something to us. Reveal about his work. Reveal about his will. Reveal about his heart. Reveal about his character. So throughout all, we see all this vision, we can know about him. Not strange thing, but him. We should focus on him. Why is that important? We talk about many different versions in the Bible. They say, without vision, some people say, people will lose control in their life. People run wild. They don't know where they are going. Don't do whatever they want. Without vision, people will scatter, decay, and perish. So we can see the importance of vision. Think about our life. Are we running wild? Are we having control in our life? Do we have a direction in our life? Do we have a purpose in our life? And not only that, seeing the vision, for those who are seeing the vision, there's a responsibility to him. There should be a response for that person. How did he react to that, what he see? So there comes the response. But happy is he who keeps the law. If you see what God is telling you, and you keep and you follow God's way, that will change our life. So just like Paul in the book of Acts, he says something like this: "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, the calling in the heavenly vision." So when you see something, brothers and sisters, we have a duty, a response needed to react to what we see. Are we obedient to the heavenly calling? So what you see should govern our footsteps. So what we see should direct our way, our purpose on earth, how to work, how to walk with God, and how to serve Him in our life, according to His will, according to the vision He has given to us. So I have already done 5 visions. Let me quickly go through it in 1 minute. Visions of Abraham. God appeared to him, I'm your shield, your very great reward. So in this vision, God is telling us, He wants to give Himself to man. The visions of Jacob, about the ladder, joining heaven and the earth. And that place is called Bethel, the house of God. What does it mean? God wants to come down to earth. God wants to dwell among men. This is the heart of God. Not just a ladder, but this is the heart of God. God wants to come down. God wants to stay with us. The visions of Moses, he saw a burning bush. Why does the fire won't consume the bush? Because God is preserving the bush. Our life, Moses' life, Israelites, Christians, we are like the burning bush. We should be condemned. We should be consumed by judgment, by fire, by trials. But God preserved us and refined us in all this difficult situation. Visions of Balaam, there are 4 visions. And in these visions, in the eye of God is telling Balaam in his eyes, his people are beautiful and strong, majestic, and kings will come out from these people. And from these people, God can overcome all the enemies. So this group of people is the heart of God. So I say again, the visions of Balaam tell us how important the children of God in the heart of God. So we should see. We should gather all this vision together to know God Himself. God is telling you about Himself through all these visions. And lastly, is Joshua last time. When we have to come into the promised land, the Lord showed him, take off your shoes. I am the commander. I'm not coming to help you. I am the commander. So in all the spiritual battles ahead in our life, He is the commander. So the Lord is showing us bit by bit. We have the privilege to gather all these visions, just like holding an album, seeing picture by picture. We know God more and more. So I don't know, how do you like reading the Bible? When you read the Bible, God is telling you so much about Himself. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed. Think about Moses. How many visions he can have? But now we have got the whole book in the Bible. So many things God is telling us about Himself. Now today, I have to go to another vision. Maybe not just one. The visions of Isaiah. But before I go talk about Isaiah, let's think about what is the situation at that time in terms of history. What was God doing at that time? Now, when we think about Joshua, God is using Joshua to bring the people into the promised land, to conquer the land. Now, this Israel enter into the promised land, they build a kingdom. But what is this a godly kingdom? Can people know God by looking at these Israelites? Not at all. Because they turn to sin and that becomes very corrupted. So there's something wrong with this kingdom. This kingdom is supposed to change the world. But in fact, the world changed this kingdom. So what would happen in God's heart? God needs someone to deliver a message to this corrupted kingdom. What is the message? God needs a vessel to deliver a message to this corrupted kingdom. Come back to me. So this is the importance of Isaiah. So visions come to a person has a purpose because of his role in history, in the work of God. He has to do something. God expects him to do something. But before I go on to the vision of Isaiah, let's think about Isaiah. When we talk about the book of Isaiah, how many chapters has it got? 66. So some people say it's a miniature of a small Bible, just like a small Bible. 66 chapters can divide it into 39 and 22, just like the Bible, 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 chapters in the New Testament. But when you look at the book of Isaiah, it can also be divided into 39 and 27, because you can obviously see the changes from 39 to the 27. From the first 39, it talks a lot about the judgment. And the letter, the 27 chapters, talk a lot, the tone change, lots of comfort words. So people divided into the book of Isaiah into judgment and comfort. What is the name of Isaiah? The meaning of Isaiah? Actually, the name is the theme for the book. He picked a very good name, or God gave him a very good name. Isaiah actually means Yahweh is salvation, or salvation is of the Lord. So if you ask me to give one key word about the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, give me one word to describe this book. I'll give you this word, salvation. Just like his name is salvation. So, what do we know about Isaiah? So, people studied his hymn, so they realized that Isaiah must come from a very distinguished family. His education is very evident. In his he can use very impressive vocabulary, and in his writing style. Some people call Isaiah is the Shakespeare of the prophets. So he can use very good language. I don't study language. I can't tell good style or good vocabulary. But people learning, doing studies, they say, oh, he's good at writing. And there's something special about him. He must be close to the royal courts. He may be from the royal family himself, because he can easily go and see a king with no problem. So with such background, and also when we know more about him, the Bible talks a bit more about him. His wife was also a prophet, and he has got two sons. Normally, we don't learn about prophet's family life that much. We don't know about the wife of the prophet. We don't know about the name of the sons of the prophet, except a few. But the son, he got two sons. In chapter 7, verse 3, he mentioned this first son, which is called Shear Jeshurun. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly. Shear Jeshurun. What is the meaning of this son, the name? It means remnant shall return. And the second name is the longest name in the Bible, in chapter 8, verse 3. Of course, I can't pronounce it, but some people talk to me. If you can't pronounce a name, just pronounce it with confident and loud. And people will say, oh, he knows it. So let me pronounce it. Mahashala Hashbaz, something like this. So what is the meaning? The meaning is speed the spoil, hasten the booty. If you don't know what that means, it means enemies are coming quickly. They are going to take plunder among us, take spoil among us. So thinking about these two names, oh, it fits the book as well, because remnants shall return. The first son, the older son, is remnants shall return. That's a comfort. In Isaiah's mind, yes, God is going to judge us, but wait, remnants shall come back to this land. God is saving some of his people. We won't perish. There are remnants. And the first name, Mahashalash Hashbaz, means judgment is coming quickly, brothers and sisters. Or my fellow countrymen. No, when we see his son, what's his name? Judgment is coming quickly. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. So even how he named his son just like his book, Judgment and Comfort. The name of the two sons. God put it in the Bible there. So there must be some meaning there. He is a faithful servant. Some tradition recorded that his death, he was cut saw in half by his persecutor in the reign of Manasseh. So he was a faithful prophet before the Lord. What are the times in Isaiah? If we read the first chapter, the first verse, He served God in the time of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So within these four kings, he served God for quite some time. What is the condition at that time? The political. At that time, Assyria, this country, was growing very strong. And because of this strong power, the people, the Israelites, they want to make alliance with other countries. Oh, maybe I make friends with Babylon, maybe I make friends with Phoenicia, maybe if I make friends with Egypt, they will support me to fight against Assyria. So people at that time not thinking about relying on God, praying to God. People at that time, all they think about is making alliance, making friends around. So when enemies come, we can fight our enemies. So that is the thinking of the people at that time. So just now I mentioned, if you ask me, pick one word for this book of Isaiah, is salvation. Actually, Isaiah used these words many times. This word salvation appeared in the book of Isaiah 26 times. Compared to other prophets, all the other prophets come together, this word only appears 7 times. So now we see in Isaiah's message, not his mind is about salvation, not only he named his sons after salvation, not when he write all the books, all the chapters in the book of Isaiah, it's all about salvation, 26 times. This is something strong in his heart. Salvation from what? At that time, what is the country like? The country have moral depravity, morally no good, political corruption, social injustice, and idolatry, of course. So you can imagine at that time, outwardly, the people worship God in the temple. Outwardly, they still offer sacrifice on the altars. But deep in their social life, deep in their life, they don't know God. They are turning away from God. So there is, in such condition, what would be the heart of God, brothers and sisters? Outward condition is like this. God needs a vessel to tell these people there is salvation, there is judgment for sin. Return. God will judge. But yet, don't lose hope. There will be remnants. God will save some people, keep them, and there, God promised there will be deliverance and salvation. There will be a coming servant, a coming Messiah for these people. So throughout all the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah bit by bit build up all these messages. So let's have a look at the first vision we are going to see is in chapter 6. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Let's see this vision. This is, we believe, this is the Lord first appeared to Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Uzziah was a very good king. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. When a good king died, everything seems to be collapsed. People feared in Isaiah's heart. Oh no, a good king died. What will happen? But I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. This is the vision. In time of chaos, can we see that God, our God, is on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, angel. Each one has 6 wings. With 2, he covered his face. With 2, he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." We have the song, "Holy, holy, holy," isn't it? Holy, holy is the Lord. God is holy. So what is this vision in his mind? God is holy. Sitting on the throne, everything is calm before him, even though it seems chaos on the earth. Lots of people fear, maybe, today. But if you come before the Lord, He is there on the throne. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Can we continue? So I said, woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That was his feeling. Can we go back to 5? Woe to me. Why? I'm undone. Why? Because I've got unclean lips. So when we come before the Holy God, what would you feel about yourself? The thing is, when you come before the light, you see how dirty we are. So when we come before God, we can see ourselves. We can see the sin, the marks of sin in our life. We are undone. So what is this vision about? God is holy. What is this vision about? Man, God, sin. We are sinful. This is the vision we need to understand. Okay, we go further down to verse 6 onwards. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. Notice, from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sins purged. Now, God is holy, people are sinful, there must be a salvation, there must be something to be done. And what is that? Coal from the altar. Altar speaks of sacrifice. Because of Christ, because of his blood, we are cleansed. After this, your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. This is salvation. This vision is just like a seed sown in his life, sown in his mind. God is holy. We are sinful. We need his redemption. And we go on. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now, so often, we may stop at 6 and 7. Oh, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive my sin. And you're saved. Thank God. But if we stop there, then you have one vision, and that's it. But look at, for what I heard the voice, after the sin was taken away, the sin purged, now he heard the heart of the God. Whom shall I send? In God's heart, not just saving one Isaiah. He wants his people to turn back to him. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? What would be your response? Lord, so many angels. Look, they can fly. 6 wings. Why me? We think of our weaknesses or our limitation. We will wonder, why me? But the vision, if you respond to the vision, then I said, here am I, send me. Now the vision is no longer just a vision here. It becomes a mission to Isaiah. So brothers and sisters, we not just, oh, I want to see something, I want to know God. But after knowing God, we need to respond. Here I am. Are you ready to do God's will? Otherwise, why would God speak to you? Here I am. Send me. Here I am. Brothers and sisters, we are not just need vision. We also need obedience to the vision. And that becomes in our life a mission. In our life. And as we go further down, verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people. Go and tell this people. What is the mission? Go and tell. So if you don't come to the Lord, you see nothing. Today, many Christians, they don't read Bibles, they don't come before the Lord. They don't have vision. No vision, no obedience, no mission, and no words from God come into your life. Would you like to share something? I got no words from the Lord. Why? Because think about ourselves. How do we respond to God? Only when you respond correctly. If you say, God won't tell you, go and tell. Because, oh, use the angels, Lord. Send the angels. Send someone else. then Lord's word won't come to you. But if you say, here I am, send me, then the words come to you, go and tell these people. Okay, now if we go further on, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. When we just look at here, going down, it seems that Lord is sending Isaiah to give a message to these people. Yeah, you can hear. Yeah, you can see. But you cannot understand or perceive. And as if the Lord is making them dull. We may have such impression. And this would be a difficult. But if we look at somewhere else in Matthew, chapter 13, verse 14 and 15, it refers to the same passage. Then we can have seen a little bit more. Matthew chapter 13, 14, verse 14 and 15. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. Why? For the hearts of these people have grown dull. In here it doesn't say, make them dull. As if they were not dull, God make them dull. No. In here it says, they have grown dull already. Their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes, they have closed. It's because their heart is already dull there. Hardened heart. So the preaching of Isaiah just makes them appear to show them that they are already dull. So if you got a fever, I put a thermometer into your mouth, you got a temperature. So don't blame the thermometer. The thermometer didn't give you the temperature. It's because you already have a temperature. The thermometer, the word of God, the word of God just makes you show what you are. You are already hardened in your hearts. Lest they should see and their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand and with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. So actually in God's heart, he would like to heal the people. But they don't want. So what can we do? So if we go back to Isaiah just now, sorry, not quite finished there yet. Go back to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10 downward. Then I said, Lord, for how long? Lord, you want me to send this message? But for how long will they reject your words? Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. That means until judgment come to these people, they won't turn back. So this is the message. Remember, judgment, comfort. Why do we have judgment? Because God is a holy God. God will judge sin. But take comfort. God is also a loving God. Not just his holy, righteous, his God is love. So he prepared redemption. He prepared a tenth in verse 13, but yet a tenth will be in it and will return. This is remnants will return. And before consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So some godly people will remain. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So in judgment, God still has mercy. So right now we can see the whole book of Isaiah builds up from this vision. God is holy, God is just, God is love, God is preparing redemption for his people. So after this vision, is it final? So when I talk about the vision in the Bible, oh Lord, give me one vision, I would be happy. No, after one vision, if we respond in God's heart, according to God's heart, there will be a mission in our life. And not just a mission, God will speak more and more to you. Go and tell, go and tell, go and tell. Your life, that vision in you is just like, this vision in chapter 6 is just like a seed in the soil. It will germinate, it will grow into roots, it will grow into stems, it will grow into branches, leaves, and fruits, and flowers. So 66 chapters grow up like this. It all begins in Isaiah's response to the vision. Brothers and sisters, how do we respond to what God has shown us? Maybe God is showing you something today. What would be your response? If we respond correctly, that revelation in you will grow, will direct you, will give you purpose, will give you direction, how to live your life, how to serve God, how to go and tell, and what would be your message to this whole world. So if we, further demonstration, if we go back to chapter 1, I'm going to read a lot of passage today, quickly, I'm sorry, but to give you an idea, I can't talk of the whole 66 books, isn't it? 66 chapters. Chapter 1, the visions of Isaiah. Now, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the time of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. So, after the first vision in chapter 6, now all this germinates. Verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Lord, go and tell. What? It's not just the message, stop there. If we want to serve God, God will tell you more. God will tell you more. God will tell you more, day by day. Brothers and sisters, if we come before the Lord, read the Bibles, God is going to tell you more and more. Not just biblical knowledge. Oh, I know this, I know this. No, if you read the Bible without hearing the heart, the voice of God, what is the good of reading the Bible? You take it as a textbook. But look at here. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. This is the cry. Can you hear? The cry of God for a rebellious children. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. My people, they don't care about me. When you read it, is it just plainly, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib? No, you're not reading it. You can read into the heart of God. You can feel the pain as if in the heart of God. Can we go further down? Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. This is the heart of a holy God, almighty God, a father. Children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, abandoned. Like you remember the father and the prodigal son? They have forsaken me. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. So when you read it, you can really feel the heart of God. So a prophet is not just a messenger. The Lord says something like this. No, the prophet is someone who comes before the Lord and feel the heart of God. And he delivered the message in the heart of God. Hear, hear. Why should you be stricken again? That's enough. I feel the pain. Look at you. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. Go further. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, look at you, think about your life. I have tried to chastise you. Do you know that? There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up or bound up or soothed with ointment. God still doesn't want to discipline you anymore, but still, we are like that. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, strangers devour your land. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in the vineyard, as a hut in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. This is the heart. Go further. Verse 9. Unless the Lord of hosts he had left to us a very small remnant, we would become like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is this multitude of your sacrifice to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the fat cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs of goats. Stop it. I don't want this sacrifice. I don't want this lamb. If you still want to live in sin, what does this sacrifice mean to me? Do you think I'm bloodthirsty with this? Can we go further down? When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand? To trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Oh, I cannot endure your meeting anymore. The sacred meeting is not sacred at all. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, they are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So this is the feeling of God, comes through the prophet, comes through his mouth, and delivered to God's people. God needs a vessel. And then God needs a vessel now today. Not just sending some message, but knowing God's heart, responding to his heart. Can we go further down? When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice. Rebuke the oppressors, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Do the right thing, in other words. Stop sinning. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There is hope in here, can you see? Even God is disciplined, God is going to judge them, but God still gives them hope. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword from the mouth of the Lord. I can't read further from here. So this is this whole chapter 1 is just elaborating what we have seen in chapter 6, isn't it? People have got sin, not dealt with their sin. God has to provide a salvation for them. So even their sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So judgment and comfort at the same time. So receiving this first vision, more vision coming in, more words of the Lord coming in. It all depends how we respond to what we hear, isn't it? So we can we go further down to... Sorry, because of time, I can't go on too much with this chapter because there are many to come. So let's look at the book. The book, 66 chapters, from chapter 1 to chapter 12, it basically is prophecy, the judgment against Judah. And if you read from chapter 13 to chapter 23, then it's talking about judgment, about the nations. Remember, I talked about the root, the stem, and the branches. Yes, God will judge. It will judge Judah. It will judge Babylon. It will judge Assyria. It will judge Egypt. God's word will keep on coming, pouring out. God will judge the nations. And in chapter 24 to 27, it speaks of the final judgment. The day of the Lord is coming. And from chapter 28 to chapter 35, there not only judgment, but there will be start to talk about some blessing after the judgment. Now, so this part is basically about the judgment. And then from chapter 36 to 39, if you read the Bible, that's more, instead of like prophecy, it's more about history. History, four chapters, about Hezekiah. God delivered Hezekiah from the invasion of Assyria. Okay? So God can save. God can raise judgment. But if people return to God, remember, if you read that, Hezekiah asked, Isaiah, pray for the country. Hezekiah came before the Lord and prayed to God himself. And Isaiah talked to Hezekiah, because you pray to God, God's delivering hands come to you. So even judgment comes, Hezekiah, if you return to God, God can save you. And also in the next two chapters, talking about Hezekiah, he's supposed to die. God gave Isaiah the message, tell Hezekiah, prepare, you are going to die soon. And he doesn't want to, and he got healed, and God used a miracle to heal Hezekiah. And then people from Babylon heard about it. Oh, they come along. Oh, give them gifts. So Hezekiah befriend with this Babylonian people, but God warned him, one day they will come to invade the land. So when you think you can make friends with someone, actually, they may become your destroyer one day. So be careful if we befriend the wrong people. So quickly we come to the, I need to go further to chapter 20, the last 27 chapters, talking about the comfort. It can evenly divide it into 999 section. The last 27 chapters, 999. From chapters 40 to 48, it talks a lot about the deliverance coming to the people. And from 49 to 57, it talks more about the deliverer, who is God himself. And from 58 to 66, what will happen in the future? The delivered people. So you can nicely separate the deliverance from God, the deliverer, and the delivered people. Let me quickly go through some verses. Chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. So after all this judgment, now the Lord is, comfort my people. Once, I remember in the very early days, when I started to read the book of Isaiah, when I was reading all this judgment, my heart is so burdened. Oh, everything is dull, gloomy, doom. But when I read to hear comfort, oh, suddenly when I read this passage, oh, light seems to be appeared. All, everything turns beautiful. So brothers and sisters, if you want to find some comfort from the words of God, read from chapter 40 onward. Okay? It's very helpful. Oh, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So sin, there's a judgment, there's consequences. Judgment will come. Double for all her sins. But when it's ended, blessing comes after. Okay, so can we jump to next passage? I just pick a few passages to show you. Chapter 40, verse 10 to 15. We talk about the deliverance. The deliverance is from an almighty God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. Deliverance from a strong God with a strong hand. And his arm shall rule of him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead them who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? The whole earth to him is just something easily manipulated. The hills, the mountains. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him? Our Lord is a wise God, almighty, and taught him in the path of justice. Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. All the nations, a drop in a bucket. I really like this verse. And are counted as a small dust on the scale. And it's gone. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. As a very little thing. This passage really talks about how great our God is. Okay, we jump to verse chapter 43, verse 1 and 7. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Just like the Moses, the burning bush, isn't it? So again, all this visions come back together, all together. Can we go further down? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up. So the country of Israel is restored. We can see here, north, east, all come back forming a country, even though it seems to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians. One day God can bring them back. And in fact, the country Israel is right now here, isn't it? Do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. We are created for his glory. So we can take comfort. Why? Because our God is mighty. He is wise. He has powerful hands. But all this become true because we have a deliverer in chapter 53, verse 1 to 12. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he shall grow up, our Lord Jesus, before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. All the whole chapter of 53 talk about our Lord. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as we were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Think about the chapters we write. He was so powerful. All the nations are just a drop in the bucket. Now, because of saving us, the deliverer suffered for us. Redemption is not cheap, brothers and sisters. Our deliverer has to go through all this in order to deliver, to bring salvation to us. Because of time, I have to jump to the last part. I only pick one passage from the last part, delivered. What will happen in the future because of the suffering Messiah? Chapter 65, verse 17. The glorious new creation, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not remember or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoice, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy, keep on, rejoice, joy, joy, joy in the coming future. So because of our powerful God, because he is a holy God, he has to deal with our sin, there will be judgment, but because of his love, there will be salvation. There will be joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So this is an almighty God. And all these messages come from chapter 6, the first vision. And if you say, did not reply to God, here I am, send me, there won't be 66 chapters. Maybe only chapter 6, half a chapter of chapter 6. So brothers and sisters, when I talk about vision, I'm not just talking about Isaiah's vision, after visions and the words. We should think about ourselves. When God has revealed something to us, what would be our response to him? Do we know God? Do we know his heart? That is more important than knowing something about Isaiah's vision. Than more important than knowing, what's the book of Isaiah about? Oh, I know, salvation. No. About the God, a powerful God, an almighty God, a holy God, a loving God. He is our deliverer. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you. We see that in your heart, you are still asking us, whom shall I send? Lord, we pray that we'll respond to your call. We are asking not for a vision, but turning back to you. May our life have a mission in our life to serve you, to live your message, pass your message, to witness to the world that our God is great. Salvation is from the Lord. Especially in times like this, Lord, people worry about their safety. People worried about only the physical things. They worried about the physical health. But we are not aware the spiritual germs that has eaten in our life. We may still dwell in sin. We may still dwell in anger, fear, worries. All these are spiritual germs that destroy our life. Lord, we pray that you have mercy on your people. Your salvation is still great. Deliver us from all this evil. And let us dwell in your presence. Let us dwell in your peace. We pray in the name of our Lord. Amen. Let's have a time of worship together.